JB, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It was a fun week one, except for my Packers, and hopefully things change around on that front. But I'm happy football is back, and we can do this every week.
What happened to your Packers? I see that they only scored 3 points and lost by a lot.
Yeah, so the kind thing that the Packers did was they were putting a stand up to the NFL and the idea that we need to have 17-game seasons. So they actually just chose not to play, and they are instead playing a 16-game season. So good on the Packers. We're still representing the 4-game preseason schedule that we did in the past. That's my only explanation for whatever happened last Sunday, and I refuse to accept that that was a regular season contest that mattered.
How about the? I have not had a chance to talk about this on our show, but how about that Monday night game? That was insanity.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm new father here, so we're still learning the ropes with a lot of different things, especially juggling priorities. So I'm with the kid, and not that he should be staying up that late anyway, but he was feeling a little bit under the weather. And we were watching the game for a little bit, and I thought the catch by Bryan Edwards was a touchdown that won the game. Right. I turned it off and took him up to bed. Only later did I come out and find, oh, wait, there's still going on. And wait, both the teams had possessions yet afterwards? It was crazy. So, yeah, it's good that we had the end of week one capped off with a great game, and we started week one with a great game as well. And I'm hoping the same thing can happen for week two here.
There you go. Talking with Joe Bartle here on Sports Call. And since you do the fantasy stuff, let's talk some fantasy football. And I want to start out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now and their running back situation. Ronald Jones, not a good game. He has an early fumble and really doesn't get back in the game. Leonard Fournette gets the majority of the carries. If you're a fantasy owner and you're looking at those two running backs, and especially a matchup like you got coming up with the Falcons that, let's just admit it, they've got a terrible defense, are you scared to put Ronald Jones on there on your team, or do you go with Leonard Fournette? I mean, how do you think that the Buccaneers are going to handle this running back situation?
Yeah, the Buccaneers are favored by 12.5 points in that contest. I don't know. I do some of the gambling stuff on our site. That's a tough line, but either way, I feel very confident the Buccaneers are winning, especially at home. Theoretically, and Bruce Arians has said, Ronald Jones is still technically starting. Why did Bruce Arians decide Ronald Jones needed to go into the doghouse after one fumble when Leonard Fournette botched a catch which turned into an interception, and yet he got to play the whole time? I don't know. If I could pretend to understand what Bruce Arians is thinking on a day-to-day basis, I probably could make a lot of money. Because I just don't – he makes choices, and especially with that backfield, that are confounding to me. And it is difficult from a fantasy manager's perspective. Now, to be fair, when you were drafting Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette, it was always going to be around 8, 9, 10 selection because it was confusing. And Giovanni Bernard was supposed to be a factor in there, too, and he did nothing last week until at the very end. I could see that in different games being a factor, but certainly not this one against the Falcons. I'm playing Ronald Jones as a running back two or flex if I don't have any better options. When I say I don't have any better options, if I lost on the Elijah Mitchell sweepstakes for waiver wire or maybe I don't have like a Melvin Gordon or something like that, there's a line to be drawn for playing Ronald Jones. I would have to see it from a specific roster perspective. I have a few places of my 15 leagues. I think I have Ronald Jones rostered in 3. I can tell you right now, in none of those 3 is he playing. And I know it's a good match against the Falcons. I just don't want to get burned again, and I'll wait till Ronald Jones has his 150-plus yard rushing game because you know it's going to happen at some point. But I feel like that more cements his status. And until then, it's kind of status quo waiting.
And, Joe, you mentioned running back. Speaking of one running back, Saquon Barkley is a guy that people have picked up in the first round, didn't have a great first game back. Should fantasy owners be concerned about Barkley, or is it just kind of an anomaly that he's had a bad game to start the season?
That was basically what I anticipated was going to happen. You know, we're going to work him back in a little bit. He only got 10 carries, played 48% of the snaps, and the Broncos' defense is really good. So people that were drafting Saquon Barkley in the middle of the first round or back into the first round, I always thought that was a little bit aggressive of a price tag. And maybe by the end of the season, he's going to be a guy that can help win you leagues. But you look at that schedule again for the first 2 weeks of the Broncos, and then this Thursday against Washington, that's another good defense that kept Austin Eckler in check week one. And I think we'll do similar damage to Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. So I don't even know if Saquon Barkley is necessarily a guaranteed running back one for your team this week either. I will say next week he plays the Falcons. That's where I think we see the Saquon Barkley game of old. And I think fantasy managers who are drafting him that high are going to see the production happen. But then you look at the rest of the schedule for this month. They play the Saints, who, again, eviscerated by Packers, who didn't think regular season started until next week. And then they have the Cowboys, which I think is another good matchup from an offensive perspective. So Barkley can be a fantasy guy for two of these first 5 weeks. But are you really excited to start or draft a guy in the first round who is maybe a running back one, two of the first 5 weeks of the season? No, and that's the part that you're going to have to watch with him and moving forward for his fantasy value.
And Joe, as well, who are some popular waiver wire transactions that you've seen the past couple of days?
Yeah, I talked about it already, the Elijah Mitchell sweepstakes. Obviously, Raheem Mostert suffering his 37th straight injury. It's difficult for him. It stinks. I think he was going to have a fantastic year. He was going to have a fantastic game against the Lions. But he's done, and now we saw that Elijah Mitchell, not Trey Sermon, not anybody else, maybe if Jeff Wilson comes back sooner rather than later, he takes over that mantle. But it's Elijah Mitchell that's the starting running back for the 49ers, and that has legitimate fantasy value right now, whether or not Trey Sermon is going to be a factor, or if Jamichael Hasty does things, or if Jeff Wilson does stuff. I don't care. Like, if you get a guy that's getting 12 or 13 carries, that's supposedly doing the Raheem Mostert role, given Elijah Mitchell's speed, that's a valuable commodity to have. So I think Elijah Mitchell, and we talked about this on the Tuesday RotoWire NFL podcast, I tweeted about it as well, too, but you can find it on Spotify. I think Elijah Mitchell, like 30 to 35% of your budget, if you're in a 12-team league and playing with friends and family, probably wins it for you. But if you're in a more competitive setting, or if there are more people in your league, 14, 16-team league, something like 50, 60, even 70% of your budget, I don't think it's outrageous. And I would be willing to commit to Elijah Mitchell to that level in those deeper formats where a starting running back is so much more valuable. I think that's going to be he's going to be a guy at least for a couple weeks that you can really rely on.
Yeah. Talking with Joe Bartle here on Sports Call, discussing some fantasy football. And Joe, I've got, it's kind of a, I guess a, it's a two-part question here, but after week one, give me a guy or a couple of guys that maybe kind of unsung, that a lot of fantasy folks just didn't really think much about, that had really good weeks, that, you know, if you're the type of guy that, you know, you want to try to make an adjustment, get them on your team. And then also conversely, same thing on the other way, maybe a popular guy that after week one and just kind of seeing things, it might be a little bit sketchy if you want to keep them on your roster.
Well, the first name that comes to mind, at least somebody that overachieved or I thought cemented his status, was Antonio Gibson. I know he didn't really produce. I think he had 106 total yards and something like 20 touches. But the fact that J.D. McKissic was not even a factor for that Washington offense, he caught like 80 passes last season for Alex Smith and Ryan and Taylor Heineke, that and Kyle Allen too. Yeah. That was a shocker to me that Antonio Gibson literally took this entire three-down workload and did well with it. I knew he'd do well, but that he got that extent. And McKissic, like I said, he had one target that entire game. Whoever the third string is guy, did almost nothing from a backfield perspective. Gibson didn't score. He didn't get crazy tall yardage. I think it's possible for you to trade and still get relatively good value from him, even though he was like a top 15, top 18 selection at most. So I was really surprised and happy to see, if you are an Antonio Gibson manager, that he is getting that three-down workload, because that was not a guarantee whatsoever entering the year. And then DeAndre Swift. I was on DeAndre Swift, and I anticipated what was essentially going to happen this past week, where the Lions offense solely has to rely on Jamal Williams, Swift, and T.J. Hockenson, because Goff can't or won't throw to the wide receivers on the outside. But to see what he did from a rushing perspective, get the two touchdowns or whatever it was, and then really be such a factor from a PPR perspective, the Lions stink. They are not a good football team, and they are going to be passing the ball often. I don't think Jamal Williams is that good, so I think Swift is going to be by default the guy that really gets a lot of workload. If you told me by the end of the season he's going to have 80 to 90 catches, I would not at all be surprised. And that's super valuable for a guy that's going in the fourth round in most leagues, at least, and maybe even earlier if you're in leagues with me. So those are the two that I thought really stood out more to the relative value. George Kittle not really doing anything despite the Niners scoring 41 points. It was a little bit difficult for me. That's frustrating when a guy like Darren Waller and Travis Kelce were great, and Hockenson too. But Kyle Pitts was the real bummer for me. Like, for as transcendent of a talent that he was supposed to be at tight end. And I know rookie tight ends tend to struggle, but Kyle Pitts was going to break the mold. Well, he got like 8 targets and 4 catches. And it's not as if some bum was throwing it to him. It was Matt Ryan, too. Yeah. So I was surprised to see Kyle Pitts struggle like what he did. And you look at the rest of the next couple of weeks, there's some harder matchups on tap for him. And I think if he couldn't succeed against the Eagles defense, which last year was not very good, how are we supposed to say Kyle Pitts is a top 5-6 tight end like he's being drafted? That's a tough pill to swallow after his week one dud.
Joe Bartle is joining us here on the program. He works for RotoWire and a variety of different outlets. Make sure you go to RotoWire.com. They've got the best fantasy football staff in the business, and Joe can help you dominate your fantasy football league. He's on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Before we get out of here, I know we've mentioned the infant son, Joe, and the learning of fantasy football by osmosis and the variety of different topics. So I understand you might not have been able to catch as much on Monday evening, but just the idea of a broadcast featuring Peyton Manning and Eli Manning watching football together, your two cents and take on that.
No, I was disappointed that this is the first time in like 4 years since we've cut the cord that I was like, man, I wish I had cable TV so I could go ahead and watch it. Because, yeah, that sounds awesome, Peyton and Eli. And I was catching some of the clips on Twitter and, you know, on Reddit and everything else, those type of topics. Everyone was loving him. Not ESPN hasn't been hitting home runs for a lot of broadcast stuff lately. That one they knocked out of the park, and I think it's a great idea. And I will really try to find more ways to watch that content. It sounded like a lot of fun.
Well, good luck to your Packers this week. Good luck to all 1,500 fantasy football teams that you have, Joe. And I look forward to chatting with you again next Wednesday.
Yeah, hopefully my voice won't be too dead. I'm going to the Packers-Lions game on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
If they lay a stinker this week, we're going to have some real issues because the season starts now for Green Bay, and I hope they realize it.
Talk to you next week, Joe. We appreciate it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.